Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We are recording. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. You all right?
I'm all right. So, for people that have just joined us that haven't listened to the first episode, firstly, thanks to everybody for listening to the first episode. I've had some great feedback, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could be a bit more grateful.
Well, it's been... you might have had some great feedback. Most of my feedback's been lukewarm.
Okay. Must try harder. So just to give people a quick insight into the format of what they're listening to. So we met 40 years ago.
Last month.
And so over the last sort of maybe 25 years, we've caught up every month and had a beer and had a catch up and told the same old story. So we just thought, well, seeing as it's been 40 years, we'd start to kind of document it. So we met in September 1980. So last month we spoke about September 1980. Films, music, TV, and the stuff that we was doing, how we met, and then it's kind of triggers off loads of stories of the dumb shit that we've got up to over the last 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, today's episode, October 1980. Do you want to start with the charts?
Yeah, let's start with the charts.
Was that Paul Hardcastle, that one? Was that the Wizard?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounded like a cross between David Brent and Manamana. Right. Number one. It's that kind of. Is this a Nazi's anthem?
What one is it? Well, Don't Stand So Close to Me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wouldn't the Nazis anthem be Stand a Little Closer to Me?
Good point. Yeah. Yeah.
He's doing his best not to be a nonce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, wet bus stop.
Yeah.
She's waiting. His boot is warm and dry.
Thoughts on the Police? We're talking about Don't Stand So Close to Me, obviously, which was number one.
Yeah. I used to fucking love the Police as a kid. This was like when I first got into music, and this was probably like the first song I remember by the Police. And I remember like every week I'd write down like what chart position the Police, Madness, and Bad Manners were, and like root for them to get up the charts. Yeah, so I like the Police at this point.
I don't think this was like the first Police song I heard. If I have to think about it, I remember like my uncle, like. Who was like sort of, he's younger than me mum, and he was like, he had like cool taste in music. And I remember like, if I went round there, he had like a kind of sports car, he was pretty cool. And I remember he loved the Police, and I can vividly remember him Roxanne round there one day.
Oh, really?
But I think my earliest memory of them is the video to Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic.
That was later than this, though, wasn't it?
Probably, yeah. But that's the kind of that's my memory of like the VHS videos that I borrow for you at Top of the Pops. That was on there. So I wanted to bring up something that happened when we was really young that involves the police, not Sting and Copeland and who was the other one? Copeland,
Blanks. Dean did say it only took us 23 minutes last time to get on Police Academy, but that's got to be a fucking record, isn't it?
Sting, Copeland and...
Summers.
There you go. Can you remember...
My name's Copeland, sir.
Chad Copeland.
Good for you. Yeah, can I remember?
Can you remember, because... One of the things that we always done every single week for years and years was every Saturday we'd go to Grey's and we would get some chips, chip up a copper.
Yeah.
Like, and for those that don't know what chip up a copper means, it's basically throwing chips at police officers.
And shouting chip.
And shouting chip, yeah.
You have to shout chip.
Chip.
It's not chipping up unless you shout chip.
Yeah. Well, all of our kind of things did involve a lot of shouting, didn't they?
And throwing something.
Like.
Butt up.
Yep. To the point where it changed into throwing people, and the shouting was different then. So some of my memories were like pushing Mr. Gels through a door at college in front of all the beauty therapy students that we was always too nervous to go and talk to.
Yeah,
and as you had to walk to the common room where we'd hang out, you'd have to walk past this doorway. Where all the kind of the pretty students were all sitting there doing their beauty therapy.
Can I just interject and say, you say the common room where we used to hang out like we were actually at college there.
I was, you weren't.
No, you weren't at college there. They fucking made you go on a course, otherwise you wouldn't have been able to hang out in the common room anymore. We used to just hang out there, didn't we?
Yeah. And the game would be, because you got wise to it very quickly and got fearful that it might be you next... You'd wait until someone was caught up in a moment of telling the story, and as you'd walk past the door that was open, one of you would push the other one through the door and shout,
"Hello!" Like Mr. Slater's parrot, "Hello!"
And the rest of us would like run off, while our friend would generally be like laying in the middle of the floor.
And all these gorgeous birds just looking at him with despair.
Can you remember the time that I knocked on your door when I was out for a run? I reckon...
Was that the time you posted your Casio VL tone through the door?
No. This was, I reckon, maybe... I reckon about 15, 16 years ago. And I remember knocking on your door and I'd gone for a run. I'd just run past you, I'll give you a knock. And you come to the front door and... We was chatting, and then obviously where this is close to schools. And then it must have been about 3:30 because the students were going home. And then, do you not remember this?
Nah.
So as I sort of said, right, I'll see you later on. And as I turned round to walk off down the end of your garden to then start running home again, as I turned round, you pulled down my trousers and pants and went, "Hello!" in front of a load of school kids and shut the door. So I was just standing there in my cock and bollocks in front of a load of confused kids. So
I don't remember that time.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I'm glad I've reminded you. Anyway, the time I want to talk about is when we was walking into Grey's and we used to cut down this road where... Did we speak about it on the first one where you'd get the Star Wars figures like of Essex?
Yeah, we sort of touched on it, and I have to say, I think this is the month 40 years ago.
What, the we got that there figure there on the right?
Yeah,
right.
I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe. Well,
tell this fucking story first, otherwise you ain't ever going to get it out. What happened?
So. As we walk in en route to the town centre, it was just me and you, and...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The phone in the phone box rang. And so I picked it up because that was like, how exciting is that? You walk past the phone box and it rings. And like, and you're very naive at that age, aren't you?
Yeah.
And...
well, you was.
All right. And I was like, hello. And then it was just this fella just going, oh, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm just in the phone box. And he was like, oh, no, I can see you. Like, and started talking about what we were wearing. And I remember just thinking, fucking hell, like, stranger.
Yeah, stranger, like, danger. All the alarms were going off.
And like, and so like, and I think we said something like, oh, is this game for a laugh? Because it, yeah. I'm sure we said something like that.
We knew a bearded man was behind it, didn't we? It 100%. Might be Beadle. It might just be some random looking.
Sutcliffe look, could have
yeah,
been
look, looking blessed. Around his neck curtains.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I bet he had a beard.
Yeah.
Like
you could tell. You could hear his bristles, couldn't you? Brushing against the phone.
All strangers had beards in the '80s. And yeah, and so I remember walking out and going like, "Oh mate, we got to go to the police about this." And then we bumped in to my mate Mark and Adam, who I went to school with, and obviously me and you went to different schools, and we told them, they were like, that happened to us last week. And we were like, right, let's go to the police. And I remember like we went to the police station and told them this story, and I think they must have just like, all right, yeah, thanks lads, yeah, and I fuck off. And then I mean, we lived like maybe 15-20 minute walk from the town.
Yeah.
And then I remember sort of getting back and in between where you lived and I lived, there was this like sort of bus lane that had like kind of like grass either side of it and like kind of like overgrown grass. And I remember I was walking back through the bus lane and I just looked and there was just this weird guy like on his knees in this like tall grass watching us wanking. And I remember just thinking, shit.
But you couldn't know, you didn't know what having a wank was then. We'd have been wanking all the time if we'd have known what having a wank was.
That's probably why we stopped going to Grace. Do you want to go to Grace? Oh, a bit busy today, mate. Michaela Strachan's on Wackaday. And I remember just going, like, running home. And, like, and because I remember my dad, like, used to do clay pigeon shooting and had a shotgun. Like, and I remember just, like, banging on the door. Like, no, we used to flick the door knocker up so it'd go like about six times on one ear. And I'm just like frantically like hitting this door knocker. And then like my mum answering and talking, and what's the matter? And I was like, Dad, get your gun. There's a stranger. And like, and obviously like my dad was like, what? All right, yeah. And I don't even think he even looked out the back window. Like, but I do remember just like thinking, Jesus, like that was a proper... a bit of stranger danger,
yeah.
That.
I went and said hello to him and he bought me an ice cream. No, I've got vague memories of that, but I don't remember it as clearly as you do. I don't remember like anyone like pounding away in the bushes.
Number two in the charts, Ottawa, D-I-S-C-O.
I like the way you moved away from that, you know, just like swiftly change the subject before we ruin the podcast in the second episode.
We've been bogged down in my lives. Let's not try and make this into one. What is D-I-S-C-O?
Can I just go back to the last story? P-A-E-D-O.
Do you know the words?
Pervert.
She, what is D? She is D.
Dirty. Desirable?
Yeah, she is I.
Irresistible.
She is S.
Super sexy.
She is C.
Complicated.
She is
O. Oh.
Do you like that?
It was a bit of a fucking... It was a disco staple when he used to do the old mobile discos. I would always play that. And they had Hands Up as well, didn't they?
Oh, God.
People loved a fucking song with any excuse for actions, didn't they?
Hands Up, baby, and fucking...
Your heart, gimme, your heart.
Oh, yeah, it was the double hand on the heart. Yeah. And for me, they're the songs that I just picture that mum dance of the 80s where like you kick the leg and clap underneath it.
Yeah, the Uptown Girl, step, kick.
Yeah, that merged into the Tina Turner. You'd get the step, step, kick, hair flick to Simply the Best. Oh, I don't miss mobile discos.
Do you not?
No.
There were some wretched fucking nights, weren't there?
Did you ever have one where you just thought, oh, that's great?
Nah.
I don't think we ever done a mobile disco together, did we?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think we did.
I remember we done one at Torrell School. I remember there was one there.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah.
I remember that one.
That was in the days before CRB checks, wasn't it? Now they'd just go, oh, you're that bloke that wrote a song about raping a paperboy. Fuck off. get him off the premises. Someone called Sting and Andy Summers.
My worst one, I'd done a New Year's Eve, and I know you DJed at the Gasboard.
Oh, like, no, I never DJed. We used to go there as kids to the Gasboard Club.
Right.
And because that was like, my dad had a couple of mates who worked for the Gasboard. My dad's mates who worked for the Gasboard. I remember hearing as a kid that when people went out and they did work in their houses, they'd go through the ladies' underwear drawers. And like, apparently, I don't know if this is an urban myth, one of them, like, the woman come home and caught him in her bra and pants, like, actually in her bra and pants. But, you know, I don't think that goes on nowadays with British Gas. They're far more discreet.
Yeah.
So we used to go to these, like, every New Year's Eve, we'd go to this disco at the Gasboard. And then at midnight, they'd get this big fucking box of Mars bars and just throw them out on the floor for the kids. And the kids would all just have a massive bundle trying to get, like, stuff their pockets full of Mars bars. And then my dad would have far too much to drink. And my mum would be driving, so she'd just drive us home with my dad hanging out the window, just shouting at, like, you know, like people walking, like a bloke and a woman up, holding hands, walking home on New Year's Eve. My dad going, go on, mate, give her one, and all that. And then we'd get home, and then my dad would ring round his New Year's Eve hit list, like one of the other managers from the kids' football team who'd...
Mrs. Pig.
Mrs. Pig, this woman who lived round the corner.
I mean, it's disgusting, isn't it? The mindset that people would drive around and shout stuff out of windows at people.
Oh, no, appalling. I'm glad we never did that.
Yep. We learned how to do it in French, so when we was in France, we could still do it.
It was classy, wasn't it? Mon train, moi le chat.
Sous-moi,
love.
Oh, dear, it's tragic that we remember that as well. That's the only French I know. I've done a DJ set I've done a mobile disco at the Gasboard one New Year's Eve. And at about 10 past 12, it was a standard thing, like Aggie pissed up bloke, probably much the same as the sort of thing your dad would be doing back then.
Yeah.
Just going, stick a fucking nugget, put Come on Eileen on, son. And I'm like, oh, I've got to go, mate. Like, don't fuck around, mate, put another song on, we ain't going nowhere. And he was a big lump, and I was thinking, oh, fucking hell. And I was like, I can't, mate. Like, all the lights are up, you know, I've just been told, like, that's it. You know the drill, you've done it enough times. And then I remember him just, like, leaning over the decks, like, and just going to me, hang the DJ, hang the DJ, hang the DJ. And I remember just thinking, oh, I'm going to have a fight, and I'm going to get beaten up on my way out. And it was like, thankfully it didn't happen, but I think that was the last time I'd done a mobile DJ and just thought, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
It's all right. You ain't got any protection there.
No, you're just fucking putting your life at risk, aren't you?
You are.
I remember just doing this one in Dagenham and like just ending up in a fist fight on the dance floor and like me just thinking, do I stop Gary Glitter now? Or do I just carry on letting it play? Because I don't want to draw attention to myself.
Let him fight it out.
Yeah. Can you grab us another beer?
Of course I can. Do you know what was number three?
No, I don't. What was it?
It was Baggy Trousers by Camden's very own Madness.
Yeah, Baggy Trousers. We spoke a bit about Madness, didn't we, last time?
Yes.
But Baggy Trousers was the first song I heard by Madness. And then, obviously, you know, being school age, it was that one that kind of just hooked you in. Like, it's still a great song, Baggy Trousers, isn't it?
It's excellent. Before I come and picked you up earlier, Top of the Pops 2 was on, and it was a school special. And so it was based around, like, school songs, and Baggy Trousers was on there. And it was a Top of the Pops performance that I hadn't seen before. Like, Suggs had, like, a bowler hat on and, like, sort of, like, snow spray on it. So whether it was some sort of, like, Christmas like thing, I don't know. But yeah, and they had the kids from Grange Hill doing Just Say No.
Oh, did that? Well, that was in the charts the same time.
It was all about school songs.
Oh,
and yeah, I remember really loving Just Say No.
I don't remember really loving it, but I did fucking love Grange Hill.
Yeah,
I probably used to like.
Don't listen to anyone else. All you got to do is be yourself.
Well, it's a good message for life, isn't it?
It is.
Did you meet some people from Grange Hill, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who you met from Grange Hill?
Well, my dad was Zamo in well, I did actually book Zamo to do my 80s night. And so got to meet Zamo. And he was a really, really fucking laugh. He was a right laugh. He was a proper nice dude. But where we're sitting now, like the school, you know, round the corner from us, Faye from Grange Hill, her kids went there. And so when I do the school run, like, she'd be there. And, like, and she'd just be one of the school mums, just not particularly, like, a lot of people didn't know who she was. I knew who she was.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, she's up there with Princess Leah. Like,
and Faye's looking around at you thinking, why is that bloke kneeling in that long grass?
It's ridiculous. Like, literally, like, Carol got at me like, will you pull yourself together? Because I'll just be like, oh, it's Faye from Grange Hill. Like,
yeah, but yeah. These people, I remember seeing fucking Banksy, like, not the artist, you know, yeah. the original Banksy, walking around in the town centre and thinking, it's fucking Banksy.
Yeah.
Did you meet Roland?
No.
I thought you had Roland.
I've had a phone conversation with Roland. He phoned me up. Like, I can't think what happened. It was something to do with Facebook, and it was when I was doing the 80s, like, reunion things. Like, and I must have messaged him on Facebook and sort of said, like, oh, here's my number. And, like, and then this, like, my phone rang a while later, and I didn't recognise the number. And I was like, all right. And he was like, oh, it's, what was his name? Oh, Erkin.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's fucking Roland Browning. Like, and yeah, and I was just thinking, this is fucking brilliant. I'm talking to Roland Browning. And it is weird because he's not famous, is he? He's like...
I don't know, though, but like...
But it blew my mind.
But they were more famous than the people now that are famous for fuck all.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? At least they were doing something. I saw... when I was... I went to Germany when I was working for the council. Was at the airport in Germany, like Berlin Airport, about to fly home. And I see Bronson. And, you know, like, just kind of... I don't know, there's something in fucking... Because Bronson was fearsome, wasn't he?
He was an horrible cunt.
Yeah, like, before he became a laughing stock when his fucking wig flew off and landed in the pond.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was fucking fearsome, Bronson. And I remember just kind of looking and getting that feeling of fear and just going, like, Bronson, like this. And he looked over because we were standing quite close and went, can I help you, boy? Like this. And I went, Mr. Bronson. Just because I didn't know who was fucking honest with
me. You were probably about 25, you fucking maniac.
Oh, when I was 27.
Sorry, sir.
I went, Mr. Bronson. He went, I'm an actor, dear boy.
Oh, yes.
But like, I forgot he was in fucking Star Wars and everything,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did he... He was in the Empire, Star Wars, did he?
Yeah, he was in the Empire Strikes Back. Then Darth Vader fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you'd your dad know him.
I'll check.
Does he go to any of the reunions?
Just picturing me dad Bronson and Zabo having a pint. Oh, God. Right, at number four, Master Blaster, Stevie Wonder, tune. What else was in the charts then? Boo, 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 boo. That's a proper mobile disco classic.
Oh, yeah, I used to play that. Played that in the mobile discos, played it in the gay clubs.
Feels like I'm in love, boo, boo. Just seeing what else there is. Oh, I'll tell you what, charted. Let me have a look. At number 18, it was down from 12. I Got You, Split Ends.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
Split Ends went on to become Crowded House.
Your favourite band?
Don't need to talk about that. I made a note of Split Ends to talk about our mate Split End.
Oh, yeah, because we had a mate who split his end, didn't we?
And it was a bizarre story. So, I mean...
There'll be listeners out there that have bust their banjo. So do it sensitively.
Yeah. All I remember is like, we shouldn't say his name.
Call him Scott.
All right. So Scott met this girl and, I feel like we should have the Your Song music now. So Scott met this girl and basically.
She was rubbing him outside his trousers vigorously, wasn't she?
Did he? Is that when it broke?
That was the first time it went, because she didn't know how to wank anyone properly.
And it snapped.
But he always used to wear white Levi's, didn't they?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it was just that.
Did
that
he have to go to hospital?
No, I don't know whether he just fucking styled it out, put a bit... did he go to the doctor and get a bit of cream for it?
I'm sure I remember his brother took him to the doctors and he got some cream.
Yeah.
And... Then I remember...
Right. Cream.
Can I have some banjo cream, please? And then I remember, like, we went to, like, our local tan club, like the kind of Thursday night in the tan kind of commercial dance, you know, try and get a snog on a Thursday night slow dance club. And at like, 10 or, like, quarter to 2, literally the DJ would be like, okay, let's go and have a dance. And it'd be like... If only for tonight, don't be a stranger.
Now we've come to the end of the road. Yeah, it's poxy, isn't it?
You can meet me by railroad.
I fucking hate that song. It's just that it's a list of means of transport, isn't it?
Yeah. She could probably do an extended version there.
Yeah.
E-scooter. C5. And then...
Bringing it back to the 80s there.
Yeah.
I like it, yeah.
So he had a little slow dance, didn't he? And obviously when you have a slow dance, sometimes you'd get a little semi, wouldn't you? And sometimes you'd have a little grind or like a little kind of grope
of each
other.
Well, he didn't see anything wrong with a little bump and grind.
No, he didn't. It went again in pizzazz, didn't it?
Oh, was it pizzazz it went again?
Yeah. And it was like, gotta go.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
No one needs that. Anyway, fast forward. So this would have been 91? Something like that.
I can't date when his cock went, but yeah, and probably like, around then.
Anyway, so go back about 5 years from now, and I'm doing my club night in London, and my mate's brother turns up with this girl, who I then start chatting to, who's a right laugh and ends up working at the club, doing the cashiering. And I'm chatting away, and she sort of says, "Oh, where are you from?" And I said, "Oh, you know, where I was from." She was like, "Oh, do you know, like, Cunt and the Gang?" And I went, like, "Yeah, yeah, he's my best mate." Like, and she was like, "Oh, right, yeah, yeah. I sort of see him about, like, when I was growing up." And I was like, "Oh, right." She went, "Yeah, yeah, because I dated this fella that he was doing some music with called Scott." And I was like, right? She went, oh, honestly, like, it all went really bad. Like, we had to go to hospital once. And I was like, you broke his cock? And she was like, yes. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe, like, I've just met the person that broke his cock. Like, that's gone down in legend amongst our friends, like Scott's broken cock. You wrote a song about it, didn't you?
He told me in confidence, so I wrote a song about it. It's my way of processing things.
Of course it is, mate. Of course it is. These are difficult times.
Started off one night, his bird's privates were tight. He thought that he could enter if he pushed with all his might. Yeah, that was it.
All right, so... films?
Yeah.
Yeah? You got any more records you want to talk about?
Nah.
Mm-hmm. Elephant Man come out in October 1980.
Yeah.
Like that film?
It's virtually unwankable.
Do you like that film?
Yeah. What's not? It's bleak, isn't it? It's fucking bleak.
Yeah,
it's bleak, isn't it? I had a funny incident a couple of years ago. You know Dave who used to do the door at the youth club where you used to run your indie night. You know, the really highly fucking suitable thing, having a club night in a youth club, isn't it?
What are you trying to make out? It was like fucking rotten up.
No, I'm not. I weren't even going to fucking say that. I weren't even going there, but I was just saying, you know, like this was one of the anomalies with the council, isn't it? Is that like they'd run all these kind of almost adult events in youth clubs.
Yeah, with a licensed bar.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we can save the Walton up for later in the series. All right. So Dave used to do the door there, and obviously I got to know him through the council and the youth service. And then I ended up taking him to the dentist last year, and he was having a load of teeth, because he's knocking on a bit now, bless him. But he was having a load of teeth taken out, and the dentist said, have you got anyone to drive your own? So he rang us up and said, we drive something from the dentist. So he had about five or six teeth out, and obviously they numb all your fucking face up when they do it. He come out, I was waiting outside for him. He come out and looked like a proper fucking sorry old state. And I went, oh, fucking hell, Dave. Like, you know, and he went, you've all been so very kind to me. Just fucking done me.
Oh, that's fucking brilliant. I remember seeing that when I was really young. Yeah. Like, and because I think I thought it was like going to be a horror film. And I remember it like proper breaking my heart.
Yeah.
I remember just like probably the first film that I watched where like I was like proper like moved.
Yeah. I watched like fucking 2 minutes of it on YouTube yesterday. I was like, something in my eye. Oh, yeah. It's really fucking sad, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really sad.
Now, the saddest thing about it all is his bones ended up with Michael Jackson.
You don't want to be left to decay with him, do you?
Sat in the corner of a room while some little boy's pulling his bum cheeks apart. Fucking no one wants to end up like that.
Oh, fucking hell, mate. That's fucking really made me laugh.
Any other films?
See, the one thing that I think elephant related that I think of when I think of the 80s is Wellephant.
Yeah, I remember Wellephant.
I thought everyone knew Wellephant.
No, it's because I put Wellephant in. I had a song called Let's Fuck About With Fireworks.
Right.
And put a reference to Wellephant in it. And like half the people have no idea who Wellephant...
Oh, I can't get over that. Oh, that's really
fucking dummy.
Oh dear. Whew. Oh, we gotta stop for a second. Oh, I can't fucking do this. That's fucking really fucking made me laugh. What a fucking scenario. Fucking hell. Oh, that's really fucking dumb, mate. Oh.
Have a little sip of drink.
Oh, dear. Right. One of the things that is pure 80s when I think about elephants is wellephants. And I've often mentioned wellephant. Not that many people know him, do they?
No, no. I as you know, did a... I don't think we're going to be able to get this bit back, are we?
Oh, we'll be just... fine. We'll be fine.
I'll fucking sort this out in the edit. Where are you going with the wellephant thing?
Well, I just think, like, it was this... There was a 999 fair. Do you remember that in East Tilbury?
Yeah.
And you'd go there, and I remember it was like a real big thing that to go at this 999 fair, and it was fucking shit. It was like all hyped around seeing Wellephant, which was just basically a nonce with a trunk and wellies.
Yeah. Half the people don't even know who you are, you purple cunts.
But yeah, but it was obviously some sort of patron of the fire service.
Yeah, he was the fire service's mascot, wasn't he? To stop people dicking around with fireworks and playing with matches and that.
Can you remember that time we played with matches by the Bonnie? And
what was it about matches that made you want to play with them? What, flicking them was it?
No, we'd done a genie. We'd done a genie and it went in the bushes and then the bushes proper caught fire.
No, I don't remember that.
Maybe you weren't there. But it was like, we'd literally standing outside the shop where we would hang around all the time.
Yeah.
And we must have had like a pack of Swan Vestas and was like, you flick a few and then it's like, right, where do we go from here? Only one way, genie. And so, like, and for those who don't know what a genie is, it's where you light one match, put it inside the box and all of them go up, like an inferno. And then we just threw it in this bush. And then it was so hot and dry, it just went fucking mental and we shit ourselves and it was like fire brigade have got to come. It was like I thought, oh, I'm gonna like burn down houses. It was like, in fairness, it probably went for about 4 foot and just burnt out. But by then we was well on our toes.
I had that one time, me and Andy.
Yeah.
I mean, Andy Meyer, they're like sort of third cousin or whatever, a couple of years older than me. We used to work together in Burton's and at Lakeside, and there was a boat fucking thing there where you could just kind of go and get a drink at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And they were selling these 4-pint pitchers that made it much more economical than just buying separate pints.
Yeah.
So instead of having lunch, we'd just go and get a 4-pint pitcher. And like, quite, you know, on an empty stomach and being lightweights at the time, we'd do this 4-pint pitcher and just be absolutely fucking pissed out of our heads.
Yeah.
And I remember just being sat there by the window one time, just like flicking matches out of the window. And there was a bin under the window. And we were just flicking these matches into this bin. And all of a sudden, all this smoke started coming up. We were just like, oh, shit. And we just kind of sat there. And then this smoke's fucking coming up. So we shut the window and, like, it's just started smoking. And then there's fucking flames. And then we've just kind of sat there all innocent. And then I've just seen the barmaid just running out with two of these 4-pint pitchers full of water to put it out. But it was like properly fucking ablaze by that point. And then, like, you know, like, oh, I don't know whether, fuck, I can't remember whether the fire brigade came or whether it was someone with a proper fire extinguisher. Like, we just kind of sat there acting all innocent.
I remember we done, when I lived on the estate, there was, at the end of the estate, was like a dead end. Was you there when we built that big bonfire?
Yeah, I think I was,
Guy Fawkes Night. We built the biggest bonfire you've ever fucking seen. Like, and it was all built around this, like, concrete tube. And we filled that full of wood and then built the thing around it. And then set. We also put a load of wood and paper and stuff in a shopping trolley we nicked from Asda. And then wrapped up a load of potatoes in like tinfoil and put them in there and set fire to it. And it was like, this was brilliant. And Large was like the chef. He was pushing his trolley around. It was on fire with his potatoes in. And then I remember it just going up. And then like Oppie, who lived there, his mum coming out going like, right, I'm calling the fire brigade. And that was like, oh, shit. And then it was like proper 30 foot of flames. It was like, shit.
Yeah.
And I remember like the fire brigade just got fucking steaming down, hoses putting it out. And all the time, I just remember looking over and Lars, like tenderly, like trying to pull these fucking potatoes out of a fucking flaming shopping trolley. One of the other films that come out, Private Benjamin.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw Private Benjamin, but in the interest of being a bit more prepared than I was last month,
yeah,
I watched it this week.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, it was all right. It didn't set me well. Like, it was nice. It's a sweet film. Like, same kind of premise as Police Academy.
And Stripes. There was lots of films of that era that were like
Yeah,
that.
Like, it's like fish out of water, you know, and she's a kind of mollycoddled, like, late 20-something bird who ends up in the army for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first finds it really hard and then fucking discovers herself and succeeds it. But I see it's like, you know, sort of having a little Google of it. It's like in the top 100 American comedy films. And I don't know, it didn't really tickle me. Like you know, there's some funny moments in it. And it's all right, you know, it's a nice little film. But didn't really fucking tickle me funny bones.
It's a sweet film. It's not like a particularly funny film, I don't think. Like, it's quite gentle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, not in the way that, like, Police Academy or Stripes is, which is far more. Maybe Stripes isn't. Even Stripes is a bit more kind of sweet than Police Academy's not.
It's just fucking funny, staff. Police Academy. Yeah. People are going to get fed up with us mentioning it every single month for next 10 years.
Right. Okay, but draw a line under that.
No, I'm not saying draw a line under it. I'm up for talking about it for an hour every single month.
Right. Television. So I had a look on the TV guide to see what was on in the evenings. Jack and Ori, Play School. Fucking rubbish.
Yeah, rubbish, aren't they?
Can you ever remember, apart
from... The thing is, though, they're not meant for you. You're 47.
I just remember, like... Because you didn't get a lot of kids' TV then. And, like, and what you'd got, you'd really hope it was something good. And I remember, like, if it was just like, you'd see the little BBC like world thing spinning around, and it'd be like, oh, Jack and Ori.
Yeah, some cunt in a fucking brown jumper.
Yeah.
Reading something by Rudyard Kipling.
I don't want to read books. I'm a kid. I don't want to read books. I want to watch The Mystery Men. I don't want to read it. Like, I don't want some fucking old cunt in a cardi reading to me. Like, I just want to watch cartoons.
Hong Kong Fooey.
Yes, I do. That's what I want to watch. BBC didn't seem to want to spend the money, did they? Play School. Oh, right. Brilliant. Wicked. What's this? Oh, just a couple of people who are like your dad's mates and a load of stuffed toys sitting there. They ain't real. They're not animated. They're not doing anything. They're just fucking sitting there. Don't try and make them characters. They don't do anything or speak.
I can't believe how angry you are about Play School.
Tell me something good about it.
Put a round window through if you're that angry.
Oh, why didn't someone put a brick through the round window? Was there anything good about Play School?
No, but were we too old for it by 1980? We'd have been too old for it, wouldn't we?
I never remember thinking, oh, Play School's on.
Nah.
Like, and then...
Play School!
Yeah, fucking rubbish. And lunchtimes, like, because you'd have, like, 12 till 12:30.
Pebble Mill, wasn't it?
That was BBC One. You get Pebble Mill, but ITV, you'd get either like, and it always seemed to be when I was off sick, you'd get like, there'd always be like cool stuff, and I'd be like, oh, come on, please be Charlton and the Willies, please be Charlton and the Willies, please be Jamie and the Magic Torch. Oh, it's fucking Rainbow. Rubbish.
It's all right if you're tripping.
I weren't really on the acid at six. Crackerjack come on after that.
That was a load of wank as well, wasn't it? Was anything any good?
Well, do you know what was good? And it ain't good anymore, because it's all frowned upon now. But after Crackerjack had finished, it'd be like, right, it's 5:30.
Benny Hill.
No, it'd be Rolf's Cartoon Club.
Yeah.
And that was fucking brilliant.
It was good, Rolf's. See, I didn't used to mind Take Heart, however.
Yeah, my old man weren't the same.
No. Your old man have a problem when Mr. Bennett moved
he
in.
He fucking hated Mr. Bennett. My dad used to love Take Heart. And
perhaps you'd had an argument with him on The Empire Strikes Back.
But I do remember, like, when Mr. Bennett came on, he was like this kind of caretaker type catastrophe, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I remember my dad, I was, well, what's he got him on there for? What's he on there? What's he doing? And he had a point.
Yeah.
It was like, because Tony Hart was like, I mean, he was fucking boring, wasn't he?
No, he was just nice. He was a nice old man.
Why is there nice old men on kids' TV?
Because
Timmy Mallet.
Nah, they were all hung over from the fucking 60s and 70s. It was the BBC, wasn't it? They were all hung over from the 60s and 70s. Did your old man generally have a problem with Neighbours in kids' TV? How was he with the Meekers?
See, they spoil Rent-A-Ghost.
No, but you need someone who's a cunt to make you enjoy the good people.
No, but I think what's his face was a bit of a cunt, wasn't he? Maypole. Was it Maypole? What was his name?
He was a...
Les Claypole.
No, isn't that the singer of...
What?
Wasn't he the singer of the fucking Bay City Rollers?
I hope so. Oh, that'd be amazing. Mr. Claypole. What is it? Les
Claypole? No, is there Timothy Claypole?
Timothy Les Claypole.
Do you know in real life?
This is a lie.
No, it's
not. This is a
no,
lie.
It's not. In real life, he died of AIDS.
Keep it light.
Sorry, mate. It's factually accurate.
He was a bit creepy, wasn't he?
Oh, Mr. No, I mean, he was a bit gadzooks and old bodkins, wasn't he? But no, he was all right. What are you Googling?
Les Claypole. Les Claypole. He's an American musician. Yeah. Oh, is it singing Primus? Of course he is. Yeah, he weren't.
You reminded me of Alan Parks saying Dr. Hook isn't actually a medical practitioner.
Or Dr. Fox. Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, it doesn't matter how many kids you get, like, laughing and shouting, like, on things like Crackerjack. You can't polish that turd. It's shit. There's nothing fun on there. It's like that's an adult's idea of what they think kids like. And I think it was like adults that didn't have kids thought they'd like this.
Yeah.
And like, and then you'd look at like... I'll tell you what was the biggest fucking sack of shit. Emu's World.
What, Pink Windmill?
Yeah. That was fucking terrible. Really fucking bad. It was like, right, let's get fucking 10 of the most irritating fucking drama school kids that literally are singing Zippity Doodle out of their arseholes, like going, there's somebody at the door. And it's like, answer the fucking door, one of you then.
Yeah.
Don't start dancing around.
And being led around by a bloke who, without that puppet, is just someone filling up people's private parts.
Exactly that. Plus the other one. Like, what was her name?
Grot bags.
Horrible. Just shit. Like, there's nothing good about it. If the selling point is a puppet, which is a shit puppet, it's an angry puppet with a fucking geezer who's got a bit of a problem on the other end of it. It ain't for me, mate. I'd be angry about kids TV today, haven't you?
It's a good event, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been bottling it up for 40 years, so it's good to let it all out.
Speaking of Alan Partridge, Mini Metro come out in October 1990.
Not driving a Mini Metro, I'm not driving a Mini Metro.
They've rebranded it, you fool. One of the other... I'm trying to think what I'm looking for in my notes. What else I made notes of to discuss in this month. Have you got anything you want to mention?
Thatcher... did a seminal speech, This Lady's Not For Turning. Good old Thatcher.
Aye, lovely old Thatcher.
Oh.
Maggie.
Did you know, and I found this out from having a little fucking Google earlier on, you know she was called the Iron Lady.
Mm-hmm.
She had another nickname, Tina. There is no alternative.
Didn't know that.
So I was, oh, that got me to thinking. We had a couple of mates that had good nicknames. Do you remember had a mate called Dean whose nickname was Baby's Cock? Dave, was there any other good nicknames at your school?
The best nickname ever is Dinner Lady.
Oh, of course, yeah.
There, when I had a club night in Basildon for a while, and this lad turned up who was, he was a nice fella, but he obviously probably had a bit of a...
He was unlucky, wasn't he?
That's a great way of putting it. Like, he probably was on the wrong end of a bit of bullying growing up. And then, I can't remember what his mate's name was. His mate was a really nice dude as well. And he was like, Dinner Lady's driving tonight. And I was like, what? And the thing is, normally a nickname is an abbreviation, isn't it? To kind of speed things along.
Yeah.
You know?
Unless it's an horrible one.
Yeah.
Then it can be as long as you like.
Baby's cock. Dinner Lady. And I was just like, right, okay. Why do they call him Dinner Lady? Ah, because at school we hung around with the dinner ladies. And like at the time, I remember thinking that was really funny, but I look back at it now and I just think, well, that's a bit tragic,
it's
isn't it?
It's bleak, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was unlucky, wasn't he? Because he had a... Didn't he have an industrial accident and he cut his thumb off and they sewed it on at a slight angle? Am I right in saying that? Was that an urban myth?
I don't know.
Do you remember the girl from around the chip shop, what her nickname was?
No.
Who'd had a termination?
Oh, that's bad. That's bad. Yeah, that's... people would say that out loud all the time. People know it. You haven't got to say it. I know you want to say it.
I don't want to say it.
People know what you're saying. That was really bad. Just say it.
Abortion of chips.
There.
Like, it's heartless, but it's fucking clever. Whoever thought of that?
I'm just trying to think of...
James Acaster's gone on to be very successful.
But I just can't think... I do think Dinner Lady's probably the best nickname you could ever have.
There was a kid of larger proportions, shall I say, in my year at school. And I remember kind of playing... We were all playing football over the field. And someone's passed him the ball and he's lost control of it. And they go, oh, just control it, Nimble. Like, and I thought it was like, we must be like 11 or 12. And this fat kid's got a nickname, Nimble. And you know, you think, that's good. Like, you know, to have an ironic nickname at that age, he's fucking good. And I sort of went up to him and said, do you mind people calling you Nimble? And he went, that's better than the nickname I had in my last school. Everyone called me Wanker.
Do you think Nimble's still with us?
Yeah, he's got a flat with Dinner Lady. I'd like to think they're like men behaving badly.
So there was another thing I wanted to talk about, just looking back at music. Cliff made a dent. So this would have been the third decade that Cliff was releasing records. And I think, was it?
No, fourth then, isn't it? Because 50s, 60s,
70s. Yeah. So I'm trying to think what the track was. I think the track was Dreaming. Thoughts on Cliff Richard?
I don't know if you can kind of go back to before the Lord's Prayer and fucking Mistletoe and Wine and all those fucking terrible crimes he's committed. You know, musically,
yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
The rest hasn't been proven.
Yeah.
But, you know, and remember what he was like before. I mean, he was always just like, he was a safe Elvis, wasn't he? Like without the kind of charisma and...
Safe Elvis is great. That's exactly what he was.
Good name for a band, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He ain't got any integrity, Cliff, has he?
Nah, he'll just fucking... Yeah, he'll just do whatever it takes.
Grab this Walkman, pop on some skates, go on.
It's wired for sound, you cunt.
It's a great record.
Yeah.
We Don't Talk Anymore is a great record.
Yeah, he said, Carrie.
Yep. Any others?
Why don't she live there anymore?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Was there any other hits that were good?
No, I can't think of any.
I grew up in a household where there was a Cliff Richard calendar on the wall.
Your dad was a big fan?
He was. But yeah, like literally, to this day, I still get my mum a Cliff Richard calendar for Christmas every year.
Is that like that thing though? Like I always got me nan a teapot and in the end, like she had 40 of them just like in a bag for charity.
The Cliff calendars are something to behold now.
Oh really?
He's still like got his tennis whites on and he's kind of, it's like
little brown mark on the back.
It's like Partridge. It's really unpleasant, like when you see him there, and I just think whatever producer went, here, Cliff, they're down with this. Like, Stock Aitken and Waterman, they got hold of him, didn't they?
Well, they didn't have the art to say no, did they?
Oh, that's a bad joke.
I didn't think that was too bad, actually.
So they done that. He done that tune with Stock Aitken and Waterman. I just don't have the heart.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Is that good? I can't remember. You like Stock Aitken and Waterman pop songs, didn't
you? I do, yeah. It ain't among their best, but...
What's their best?
I like a lot of the Kylie ones, like, you know, Step Back in Time and Hand on Your Heart and Better Devil You Know.
Better Devil You Know, brilliant. Step Back in Time is my favourite.
But then Rick Astley ones are good as well.
Mm. Sonia single, the number one, I really like that.
It's better than I thought it was at the time.
I tell you what,
I don't actually fucking mind like... you like some of the Jason Donovan ones?
No, I had no issue with some of them Jason Donovan singles, and basically, some of them were Motown of its moment.
Yeah, but we're still too close to it for people to recognise that
to a degree. But I also think technology had kicked in, and I think once electronic technology kicks into production, things can date very badly.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Motown, because it's a traditional sound,
yeah,
has aged really well.
Yeah.
Whereas I think as soon as electronic music starts coming through, like you can pretty much date it by its drum sounds and things like that.
Yeah, but you say that, but then after kind of about the, you know, after kind of the late 90s, pop music all sounds exactly the fucking same.
Or are we old?
No, but like, you know, from the kind of Spice Girls and fucking Hearsay,
yeah,
and, you know, it ain't actually that fucking different.
Was Stock Aitken and Waterman Hard Rod Tribe, Brother Beyond?
Did they? I don't know. That was kind of like, you know, 80s pop production tries to do Motown, though, wasn't it?
It was, he's pure Northern Soul.
Yeah.
Like, he's so good, that. And obviously, it's a bit of a novelty record when you listen back and you think about Brother Beyond. But I always think I'd like to hear like a soul band play that.
Yeah.
Because I reckon, like, as a song, I think he's fucking great.
Yeah. I saw his cock, didn't I?
Nathan.
Yeah.
What's his second name?
Nathan's cock. Nathan Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cock. Had a piss next to him at the urinals.
Saw a little bit more.
Yeah. The harder he tried to hide it from me, the more I looked.
I met him last year.
Did you know whereabouts?
Southend-on-Sea at an 80s revival festival that was really, really bad. Like, it was like proper shit 80s.
Was it?
Like, Brother Beyond played. Well, it wasn't. It was just Nathan to a backing track. He still looks incredible. He's a very good-looking young man.
But he's got a really old cock. It's like Dorian Gray.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Part one.
Dorian Gray pubes.
And then Owen Paul was on the bill.
Oh, it's just a fucking waste of time watching him, isn't it?
But he then kept going on about his brother knocked about with Simple Minds or U2. It was really... It was like knowing someone's said the same thing on stage for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And it was like, and everyone was like, oh, you could tell everyone was just thinking, come on, just play Favourite Waste of Time, you know,
yeah,
and naff off. He didn't. He then played lots of 80s covers.
Yeah, my ex-bird went to see Limahl, and he did that, just did his couple and then went through the hits of the 80s.
But when you look back at Limahl and Owen Paul, they burnt bright, but not for very long.
Yeah, but Limahl burnt a little bit longer, didn't he?
Than Owen Paul, yes, of course. And has seen the resurgence with Stranger Things and stuff. But Owen Paul then went, all right, you know this one. Doom, doom. Hey, 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 hey. Dun, dun. Oh, I've fallen off the stage. And he fell off the front of the stage. And you could tell everyone was like, oh, because it was a big drop. And now when you could tell that someone was like, he was like,
I'm all right, but he's really hurt.
And he was like, ooh, yeah. And now when you think, he was also thinking, oh, £300 for this, fucking hell. And got to get through it. And it was like, he just persevered, like a proper old school entertainer. And now when you think, that must have really fucking hurt.
Yeah.
And he got through it. Some favourite waste of time, and off he popped.
Yeah, good
just
for
went,
him.
Didn't die. I'm trying to think who else I saw that day. The Christians. You like the Christians?
I like the Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christians played. Who else played? I can't even think who headlined. Was it like 3 or 5 star? I'm not sure. Yeah.
I went to see the Christians. Was it last year or the year before? And I just fucking, do you know, as I've got older and grumpier, it's other people at gigs just fucking, I find them really depressing.
Who's upset you now, Alan? Just people.
There was this couple in front of us trying to get the perfect selfie with Gary Christian in the background while he was singing Ideal World, and then just missed the whole of the fucking song.
Why was you watching them and not?
Because they're right in front of me, in between me and Gary Christian.
You're about 9 foot. Just look over him.
I'm just there.
Sorry, just as I'm saying that, I'm just trying to remember. It wasn't that long ago, I went to see David Devan and I got the umped in.
Yeah.
Just look over him. He was tall, though, and he did stand right in front of us, and we were standing at the very back.
There was no need to shove him, though, was there?
I'd had a little bit to drink. El Reno did flow. I think we've kind of reached the end of October 1980.
Good. Let's shut the fucking tape off then, you cunt.
Fuck off, Willy Foot, with your boring fiber code. Fuck off, Willy Foot, jog on up the road. Remembering when we were young in the 80s.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.